Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just rejoice today in our salvation. We rejoice in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit today to bring forth truth, to edify the people of God, to strengthen us to do your will. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing today that would flow through me to each and every one who would hear in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You can be seated. I'd like you to go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and this, this impressed on me so much. Well, I've got to get here and share this today. Because we are at war. And you know, if you don't live in a cave, you're aware there's a war going on into Israel and with Hamas and possibly Hezbollah and the Iranians. I mean, this could escalate into a World War III situation very easily. But I want to share a few things about this war and as it relates to you. Verse 1 says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head, and a crown of 12 stars. This is a visionary word of Israel, or Abraham and his descendants. And when the Lord appeared to Abraham in the vision, he had two visions there. He would be raised up to be a leader, and he would, it mentions in a similar way, his father, his mother, and his 11 brothers, mentions them. So this verse 1 corresponds to that back at Genesis chapter 12. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. The purpose of Israel was to be a prophetic witness of the Christ to come. It was to set forth pictures, types, and shadows of when Christ came. So I'm not going to go into any of them because it I spend 15 hours doing that literally. So you have, but that was an important part. Everything God does, he does through the spoken word. He had the prophets speaking, prophesying of Christ, prophesying this. And he gave the picture through things like the sacrifice lamb, the temple of God, and all these things. So he's did all of that to prepare the way for the Christ to come and to be received into this earth. When you're a part of the birthing forth of something, there's the travail. You have the picture of a woman in childbirth where you have the transition and the pains of childbirth. And to birth anything in spirit, that same element's there where it's carrying it in prayer and in intercession, birthing it in the same manner a woman would birth a child. Now, as a man, I had a privilege of being with my wife during the birth of both of our sons and being the coach and, you know, look her in the face, breathe. Some of you know what I'm talking about, but anyway, the birth of a child's probably the most miraculous thing and the greatest joy. But there's that labor there. And you have to pass through that time of the development of the child. And when it comes to spiritual things, it's the same. You don't just go out and do stuff. It has to be a word from the Lord, and it needs to be birthed in prayer. And sometimes there's some pain or sorrow that would go along with it. Sometimes, you know, you have have that. I won't get into the weeds with that, but the church is to be bringing forth the revelation of Christ. And we have to birth that in spirit to bring it forth into the lives of other people and to pay the price. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, Satan, having seven heads, seven horns, seven crowns upon his head, which is speaking to empires and nations and rulers. You have to understand that evil rulers are under the direct influence of powerful demonic spirits. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to the earth, and a dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now this corresponds with other scriptures that speak of one-third of the angels being led, following Satan into his rebellion by way of identifying with his pride, and they were cast out of heaven. So it says he stood before the woman then, which is Israel, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, let me say this about Satan. He's not all-knowing. If you don't open your mouth, you don't know what's in your head. He didn't know that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. He didn't know that until he all heard voice of God from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You see, back previous when he tried to kill Jesus as a two-year-old, he had heard word that the Christ was born and was in the earth, but he didn't know which one he was. But when God spoke it forth, and he knew, and he led Jesus to fast and pray for 40 days because he knew all hell was going to be unleashed at him to try to steal that revelation. And it was. It mentions three of the temptations specifically, which I won't get into that here for time's sake. But all hell is going to be released. So he led him to fast and pray to completely set himself to abide in the Spirit, to stay full of God, to resist the devil, to keep the word strong within him, and to conquer the enemy. And he did, and Satan left to wait for a more opportune time. But see, all along he was waiting. He knew that Christ was going to come. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and to his throne. This is this verse of Jesus. Jesus will have that millennial reign, absolute rule. And he was waiting and wanted to kill him, thinking he's killing his enemy, the Christ. But in the plan and wisdom of God, through death, he conquered the spirit of death. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. He raised him from the dead by resurrection power. Jesus, in his death, shed his blood to pay the price for the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. So Satan thought he was winning, seeing Jesus being crucified. It was actually working to his defeat, to Satan's defeat. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. Now this is touching here. I'll get into it some more as we go on through the chapter. That Satan, okay, let me read this next verse or two here. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's speaking to Satan, declaring war against God. What a dumb thing to do. So that's what pride will do to you, make you stupid, deceive you. Okay. He declares war against God, and the two-thirds angels are at war with Satan, and his angels kicks them out of heaven, where 2 Peter says they'll be in darkness forever. They're completely accountable. They saw God in heaven. Completely accountable. There's no way of repentance for them. There's no way. Satan can't get saved. Fallen angels can't get saved. They are nothing but evil, filled with evil. Everything that's against God. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Sometimes when I read a verse, I like to add my own adjectives. That stinking lying devil. That's just my adjectives added there. But speaking of Satan, the serpent, he's also referred to that back in Genesis 3, the devil, Satan, that deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth and his angels cast with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, or that word strength, dunamis, power, and the kingdom of our God and the power, that word put in the old English power is actually the Greek word for authority. The power and authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I'm going to skip verse 11 for now. I'll come back to that. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And when a dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth the man-child. He had a hatred, which is part of Satan's nature. So he wants to destroy the woman or Israel who brought forth the Christ who had defeated him. And Jesus said in Luke 10, I think it's verse 18, I saw Satan cast out of heaven and fall as lightning. Cast out of heaven. He said that when the disciples he sent out come back and said, we have authority in your name. Authority over devils. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly in the wilderness into a place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out. Now, what those verses are speaking to, it corresponds with the verse a little previously there. Satan declared war against God. So now here he's declaring war against Israel. He hates Israel because Israel brought forth Christ. And he then pursued to destroy Israel. But the salvation of the Lord was in their being dispersed, losing their country. They were spread out. So it's not like he could have an enemy army go in, conquer the land, and kill them all. They were dispersed, and they went well, close to 2,000 years without a nation. But in 1948, prophecies were being fulfilled where God brought them back and gave them the land back. They became a nation again. So there's another prophetic clock began. Now, I'm not going to get into that now. It's a couple hours teaching in itself. But a prophetic clock to the end. And the Lord would return, and there would be some out from Israel, and you'd have the church primarily coming out from the Gentiles. But you have many Jews that are saved as well. But God provided for them by what could be viewed as a negative thing, but actually the wisdom of God was he was protecting them. And it says the earth swallowed up Satan's attacks. Now, through history, there's been times, most notably like World War II, 6 million Jews just in Germany alone, but didn't stop there. And it's still today. And this hatred for Israel is there. It's demonic. And now today, we have these same Arab, for lack of another term, groups of which you can trace back to the book of Genesis, these different ones that came out. And their stated mission, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, they publicly say, and it's in their written documents, they want to completely destroy Israel. Kill every single Jew that exists. Now, that's the voice of Satan. It's the spirit of Satan. Don't, you know, when politicians, whoever, whatever, starts talking, have compassion on them. You have to understand, they're demon influenced, many of whom are demon possessed. Now, you can be under the influence of Satan and not be possessed. At best, they're under the influence, the deception, the influence. They have that same spirit of hatred. Again, that's a whole other thing I could get into. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's you. The believers in Jesus Christ were the seed of the woman. He has set himself to make war. Now, sometimes you can be at war and not realize it. The Prime Minister of Israel said, we're at war after this horrific thing to come in a week ago and just brutally kill, cutting babies' heads off and women, rape and torture and all this evil, evil. If someone can't see the evil spirit behind all that, they don't know God. I'm going to tell you this right now. They don't know God. Don't be deceived or caught up in something. A lot of people say the name of the Lord, religious groups and stuff, but they don't know him. But anyway, we're at war. But the reality was, Israel's been at war since she became a nation again. It's just manifest at different times, different people. And God was with them through it to fight it off. You know, the war in 1967, I remember hearing testimonies. Now, these people are probably all dead now, but testimonies of tank commanders and airplane pilots that fought where there was literal miracles happening. I mean, just miracle stuff happening to defeat. They're surrounded by all these enemies, and there's miracles. And it's been that way. They've been at war, but see, it's manifest again. And the enemy's getting more brazen and bold about it because of just the whole indoctrination of people across the world for one world that they're not going to oppose it. So he gets more and more brazen. But the war is on the saints, and that expression comes out a little bit later in the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist is making war against the saints. Now that war can manifest out in some different ways, but Jesus said you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars before his return, but the gospel has to be preached to every nation. That's what I focus on, not what all the devils do. And don't let that ever become your focus. Be aware, but our focus is on the gospel going to the unreached people of the world, and that's what we're a part of, church. We're a part of that. The unreached people of the world hearing the gospel, and as they hear to where they can believe and be saved, it'll be done. Meanwhile, the Bible does tell us there's evil. It's going to wax worse and worse. So we need to learn to abide in him, not trust in man or the arm of the flesh. You don't trust in governments or weapons or anything else. There could be a time for war. And when it comes to the warfare in your life, there's three possibilities of response. Flee, fight, or stand. All three of those things are manifest throughout the Bible. Different things, different times, but there's one of three responses. But you can't just take it on yourself to do the one you want to do, or do what you like, or move out of fear. But we have to hear from God, wait on him to know what to do. There's a time to flee. I've shared a story already of a Korean lady, believer, friend, from Korea, and her dad was a pastor before the communism sealed the border off. And he was one of the last ones to get to the South. And I asked her, I said, were there prophetic warnings? Did he ever talk about that? She said, yes, there was prophetic warnings. And the majority did not take heed. But he waited the last minute and fled, got to the South. And then eventually got over here and pastored. And she said, see, Pyongyang, North Korea, was just Korea. In the beginning, up to the beginning of the 20th century, was the Jerusalem of Christianity to Asia. There's a lot of Christians there. And they were prospering. And because they came out of poverty and prospered from the gospel, they didn't want to leave and lose their things, their properties, their things, and all the rest. And they stayed and died unnecessarily. It can be a time to flee. There can be a time to fight. And there's times you just stand. Having done all to stand, stand. But we have to hear from God. See, that's like I knew that, and I was walking through that. It's like, Lord, I've got to hear from you. Okay, here's what's going on. Stand. I'm not running from anything. I'm not fighting with man. But we're at a war, and historically, warring people, they'll try to lull their enemy into a trap or to sleep. It's like Hitler did that with Chamberlain, Britain, and history's filled with these things. And there's times they'll like hit and then pull back, hit and pull back. Yeah, you know, this Islamic demon, that's what that does. Hit, pull back. Because in that pulling back, people think, oh, okay, I have peace. I'm okay now. Everything's okay. Or to let another generation arise that doesn't know war. That doesn't know what happened. That doesn't know what happened 9/11 or any other point in time here. So he's strategic in that. We have to be wise. We have to be wiser than him. We're at war. Now here's the good news. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens that dwell into them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, our life's in Christ. We can rejoice. We have win-win. You win walking with him here, or you go to heaven and you win. I know over the years, there's times I've thought, oh, Lord, I'd love to see heaven. God doesn't show many people that. He showed the Apostle John. Paul saw it. I have a few men of God friends who are taken to heaven who've since gone to be with the Lord. God's wise. You know what? If I had seen heaven going through what I've gone through, I might have said, beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready to go. You see, it's the wisdom of God not to know too much of the future. Because on one thing, you might just say, I don't want to do what I need to do here. I just want to be there. Or sometimes people, they want to know because of fear. They want to figure everything out so they can figure out how to avoid some problem. Pains and sorrows are going to be in this life. We can't fear such things, nor do we have to bow our knee to it and submit to it either. We can fight. Selah, just I'll throw that in there. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Well, what did the blood of the Lamb do? It cleansed you of sin. And Satan will work in the confines of sin in your life. He will work to try to bring condemnation to you. And destruction as well, but condemnation. And the blood of the Lamb brought forth righteousness. As a free gift, righteousness, where our conscience is purged and cleansed. We can stand before God and pray unashamed with full expectation that he will hear our prayer because we've been made right with him. You see, if Satan can pound on you with condemnation, he can steal and rob your faith. But as we know, I'm in covenant with God. I'm right with God. I have a right to approach the throne by my faith in the work of the blood of Jesus. There's nothing Satan can do to overcome that. That's the very core of your salvation. That needs to be a daily focus. You see, you can't abide in the Spirit by your head. But it's life in the Spirit. In other words, if you try to live out of your mind, you'll say in your mind, yeah, I know that. But a believer that's dependent on Jesus Christ needs to rejoice and worship and celebrate him every day. That's why when he said he's going to teach them to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. and by the word of their testimony. I shared the last 2 weeks ago here about Jesus asking, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke out, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Satan cannot override the release of the power of the Word of God. He might try to flood with destruction and death, but he cannot override the power of the Word, releasing resurrection power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he adds one other thing. They love not their lives to death. If you love this life and this world more than God, then you will be bound to a spirit of fear, and you will compromise things to try to hang on. People do that with money, with family, with pleasures, trying to hang on, they're afraid they're going to lose something. That's part of the essence of taking on a controlling spirit. You're trying to hang on and control everything. But when you love him more, you live for his will. You live in the joy of the Lord. You live to do his will. And in that place, we can partake of covenant blessing here. And we move forward in the plan of God because we know what's before us is heaven. Heaven before us. Covenant blessing, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit with us now. Therefore, rejoice. We're overcomers. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. We're overcomers. Let's say this with me, confession. Yes. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I shall not fear, for you are here. You're within me. You're with me. You go before me. I am an overcomer through you. I have the victory through Jesus Christ. By faith, I have the victory. Hallelujah. We rejoice in you, Lord God. Now, Father, I pray over the church, Lord, that the revelation of these things spring forth like a well. Lord, that the light would break forth and shine. And I thank you, Father. We set our hearts in purpose to walk in your ways, to walk with you, to abide in your spirit. And Father, we declare ourselves victors in this war. In the warfare against the enemy, we declare the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.